From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made over much of the past decade in the Monroe County Clerk's Office. The current clerk, Adam Bellow, has made some serious allegations about the work in the office of his predecessor, Cheryl DeNolfa, who is now the county executive. Bellow has alleged that the clerk's office waived fees for passports and other permits, costing taxpayers more than $35,000. And Bellow says, based on his understanding, it was intentional, targeted waivers of fees, and that it could have broken state and federal laws. Favoritism, in other words, government favors, but for whom? Bellow has not released the list of people who had such perks. He says, right now he can't. The county executive says she was simply offering good service, and occasionally her staff was authorized to waive fees when they found it appropriate to do so. She says, what's wrong with that? There's something else worth examining as well. We're in the midst of campaign season. Adam Bellow is running to get the clerk's job permanently. His critics have said this is just political point scoring and nothing more. We invited Clerk Bellow to join us, but that wasn't all. We asked the county executive, Cheryl DeNolfa, also to come in and help settle any misunderstandings with this, set the record straight, explain how the staff was trained to decide who didn't have to pay certain fees. The county executive, through a spokesperson, says they're not available for the hour. They sent a statement along for us. We also reached out to Adam Bellow's opponent in his campaign, Republican Cheryl Rozzi. We invited her to come in this hour. Her campaign said they appreciated the invitation, but we didn't hear back on whether she would come in. She's not here, but we will offer her time to come in before Election Day on a separate day. With that out of the way, let me introduce my guest. It's the clerk of Monroe County, Adam Bellow. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan, for having me.
All right, well, let's just kind of talk about how this all started, and we'll remind folks, you've been Monroe County Clerk for, what is it, going on, six months?
About 6 months, yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's right.
When did this come to your attention, that there may be a question on waived fees? What happened?
Well, this all started several weeks ago, actually a few months ago now, where we started, when I first became a county clerk, I had the privilege of being appointed earlier this year at the end of March. And I made a commitment right after I was sworn in that I would do a top-to-bottom review of the various operations that we have in our office. And as part of that review, I started to notice, especially too while we're looking at our revenue numbers that were coming in preparing our budget, I started to notice that there were some irregularities in terms of billing. When we went back through and looked at previous years, I noticed that and saw that there was a number of transactions relative to pistol permit, the plastic pistol permit cards. These are the conversion cards that began being offered at the end of last year, where they were being given to and produced for pistol permit holders, but there was no fee being charged. And so we started looking at that, trying to figure out why there wouldn't be a fee charge for that. And then as the weeks progressed, it became clear that there was more than one transaction. What started with the one transaction with pistol permit cards turned into transactions with passport execution fees and a notary public fee. And we just started seeing other fees where there was a waiver and a fee waiver, and there was no policy in place that governed why some of these fees would be waived.
Okay, and we're talking a total of $35,000?
Yeah, between all the different transactions that we found to date, we're looking at least $35,000. And I say at least, and we can go through this over the course of the next hour or so, but I say at least all the time when I speak, because a lot of these fee waivers are done in what I would describe as a lax financial accounting system there, where it's possible for transactions to also happen off the books. And a good example of that would be with passports, whereby you come into the clerk's office and you need to apply for a passport. You may not have a photo, right? And there is a fee to produce that photo, but the way the system was set up is that that fee may not have been recorded in the system, might not have been collected, and we wouldn't know that it wasn't collected. So we know that the processing fee for the passport was waived, but I can't tell you whether or not the photo fee was waived for those as well. So I know it's at least $35,000, and we've identified nearly 700 transactions where these fees were waived.
What's the annual budget for the clerk's office?
Well, we have our budget's about just over $7 million, and our revenue's slightly about $11 million. So, yeah.
I am not someone who wants to say $35,000 is nothing, but in the course of 7-8 years plus, $35,000 for your office's budget is not very much money, is it?
No, and part of but what I would characterize it like this, and I've heard a number of people. Everyone has a different opinion on whether or not $35,000 is a lot of money. To me, $35,000 is $35,000. That's another almost another staff position for us. But what I would say is, but really, part the biggest point to a lot of this is the fact that this involved almost 700 transactions. There were there was a systematic abuse occurring in the clerk's office where certain individuals were targeted because of who they were to receive a benefit that other Monroe County taxpayers were not eligible to receive. And to me, that's very troubling. It's unfair because in government, we're supposed to treat everybody equally. And when you come into the office, there's a set of rules, and the rules should apply to everybody. And my fear is that this confirms, I think, people's worst fears in government. You hear it a lot of times, even in national politics, where you hear about a special class of people being treated differently than other classes of people, and it's just wrong. It's not fair, and the practice needs to stop. And in my view, taxpayers had the right to know about that because these are taxpayer dollars. This is a certain group of people who are supposed to be paid or charged a fee and pay a fee that then is returned to the taxpayers who were, in fact, their fee was waived.
Okay. So when you discovered what you thought was a serious violation here, did you call Ms. DeNolfo's office? Did you ask her why it was done this way? What did you do next?
No. Well, what we did was we gathered as much information as we could about the various types of transactions, and then we started contacting agencies to find out what the policies were and what the laws were in terms of waiving fees and whether or not there is discretion in being able to do that. What we learned is in the instance of pistol permits, it's spelled right out. Section 400 of the CPLR it's very clear what the charge should be for the issuance of a pistol permit. And there's a few exceptions to it, but this list didn't relate to those exemptions. Same thing with passports. We contacted the United States State Department and asked for an opinion about under what circumstance fees should be waived for the passport execution fee. And the response back was there are no exemptions or circumstances by which that fee should be exempt. I shared with them the situation we had in Monroe County, and they told me that would not be appropriate to waive them in those instances. The same thing for the notary public. I mean, the law is pretty clear. Executive law spells out the rules surrounding a notary public. And so we went through that process. And then last week, we were in touch with the county law department because part of my job is to protect taxpayers and go through and make sure taxpayers get what's owed to them. So we wanted to make sure that we were within our legal rights to make attempts then to recapture those fees so that the taxpayers can get their money back.
All right. So you're going through the process of trying to find out through outside agencies, was this done well? And what they're telling you is, it doesn't look like it was.
No.
Couldn't you have called Ms. DeNolfo's office and said, look, maybe there's something I'm missing. Before I go public with this, I don't want to hold a news conference. If I totally missed something, let's talk about it. Why didn't you call her?
Well, the staff that's there and was managing this, that does the day-to-day mm-hmm. of it, they told me exactly what happened. I mean, there's not a lot of mystery to it. There was either
payment
or no payment.
Is it the same?
Is
your staff essentially, was her staff? There's a lot of similar.
Yeah, there was changeover in the administrative staff.
Yeah.
So in just my administrative department, there was a changeover. But the day-to-day frontline staff, it's essentially the same staff that was there before. And so there's really not a lot of need for that. And actually, the county executive, through statements last week, has acknowledged there was fee waiving.
She has, and we have a little bit of sound courtesy of 13 Wham News. Maybe we should get to that now. And I'll let our listeners know as well here, just as a reminder, we invited the county executive to come on the program. They declined. They sent over a statement. Brett Walsh is the communications director for Monroe County, and he sent a response that just said, quote, "The Monroe County Law Department has contacted the State Department, advising them of additional entities which have waived fees, and we await their guidance," end quote. They have sent a letter as well. But Mr. Bellow's right. Cheryl DeNolfo did talk to media last week about this. And so 13 Wham News has been kind enough to share some of the audio. So first of all, on the question of waiving fees at all, here's what Cheryl DeNolfo said.
So it was a longstanding practice over many administrations in the county clerk's office to waive fees, again, as a matter of customer service. Certainly, we're running a business, and we want to make sure that customer service is number one. So if there was any issue with customer service, we might have waived a fee.
She's saying customer service, customer service, customer service. This is about good service to the public, Adam, that you know, if you have a problem with people paying more, then you're a different kind of clerk. The chief looked for ways to let her staff know if it's appropriate, let's waive a fee because people pay enough, and that's good customer service, no?
Well, the only issue I have with that is a couple things. Number one, the law does not allow for the fee to be waived. But the second issue is that if you look at the folks who have come forward and said, I was the recipient of a fee waiver, that would be Jim Shepard had come forward last week, and Sean Carroll came forward, and then even the county executive's husband who had received a fee waived on something.
To be clear here, we're talking about Jim Shepard, who's now a Democratic mm-hmm. lawmaker but former police chief.
Right.
Sean Carroll is the executive producer of 13 Wham News, and Vince Denolfo, Judge Denolfo, is Cheryl Denolfo's husband.
That's right. And in those three cases, with Judge Denolfo, I'm not really sure what the customer service purpose would have been for that that fee to have been waived. And for the other two individuals, they didn't know the fee was waived for them.
Well, fees are annoying.
Right. Well, but we still have to pay.
You can probably agree
them. With
that.
I sure can, but you still have to pay. I mean, this is the interesting about the clerk's office is very little, almost nothing we do is up to our discretion. Almost all the fees that we charge and are all dictated by law. It's so that we're not competing with other entities. That's the point behind the passport execution fee. So what happens is and we're talking about two different fees. When you apply for a passport and you come to the clerk's office, there's two fees you pay. You pay the fee to the federal government. If you're getting a passport book, it's about $110, and then you pay the execution fee. That's the fee. It's essentially a processing fee that's kept with the agency that's processing the passport. That's the fee that was waived. It's the processing fee. And they mandate that you collect a processing fee, and they actually mandate what that fee should be so that you're not in conflict with or competing with other passport processing agents. Because, for instance, if there's another town or village, for instance, that processes passports, if the Monroe County Clerk's Office is saying, okay, well, maybe we'll charge $10 for ours, but they're going to charge $25, somebody else charges $15, now you're all competing with each other for a government service. And government's not supposed to compete with each other to try to collect your funds. Government's supposed to be offering a service to you. So that's why the fee is mandated by the federal government.
And what's the fee, by the way, on that again?
$25.
$25, okay. Mm-hmm. So those three... We mentioned those three people as having mm-hmm. self-identified
That's right.
as having had the fee waived, but they are on a list of how many people who had fees waived?
It's almost 700.
Okay, almost 700. And the reason we don't know the others, Adam knows the others, the reason the public right. doesn't know is why?
Is because when it comes to passport records, passports are covered by the United States privacy laws. And so all records pertaining to them are essentially sealed records. So I can't release the names, addresses, any other dates or details from the individuals who had anything relative to a passport processed. But there is a provision in United States law that does allow for some flexibility for that if it's determined by the federal government that it's in the public's interest for certain information to be released.
And that's what you want to do?
And in this case, I believe that would be the right thing to do because I do believe that these were targeted, intentional fee waivers.
This wasn't random, haphazard,
willy-nilly. This was not random. This was not random. And so this was an intentional waiving of fees for a select group of individuals. And in my view, it's in the public's interest to know who those individuals were, or at least to have a better understanding. And this is, what I've asked the federal government to allow us to do, a better understanding so I can further define why that was an intentional group of people. Because, like I said, Evan, at the end of the day, this is taxpayer dollars. When you hear county clerks talk about how they've returned money back to the taxpayers,
which Ms. Denolfo talks about,
what they're talking about is the fact that county clerk's office, because we take fees for certain transactions, we take in more fees than we spend in expenditures to run the office. That's the money, and then that money, that surplus, gets returned back to the county treasury to offset the need for tax collections. This is money that should have been collected by the county clerk's office and then returned back to the county treasury. So in my view, this is taxpayer dollars, which is why taxpayers have the right to know what it was that happened here, but B, they have a right to their money back.
Okay, so let's also talk about some of why Sean Carroll or Jim Shepard. Sean Carroll's the executive producer of 13 Wham News.
Right.
I mean, as far as I know, he's not a political donor to Cheryl Donolfo. I don't know his party affiliation. Sean's usually an equal opportunity targeter of those in the public eye. So why would he get a fee waive?
Well,
you say it's targeted.
Well,
Sean Carroll?
Well, that's a great question. I think he'd like to know the answer to that as well, because he has indicated that he was unaware that he had his own fee waived, which is why I think now we have a lot more questions out there than we have answers, particularly as it relates to the county executive's statements about this, because he was not aware there was any customer service issues in the processing of his passport, and he was not aware that he had received this waived fee. So,
are there other members of the media that have had fees waived?
Well, I can't. That's up to them to self report, or if the list is made available, we can answer that question. But right now, I've been asked in no uncertain terms not to characterize the list any more than I've characterized it.
What about Jim Shepard, who was police chief? Why would he get a fee waived?
Well, again, that's another great question. I take him for his word. When he came out and said last week I was the recipient of a fee waiver, I take him at his word that he didn't know that what he was receiving was inappropriate. I'm telling you this, the people who offered him the fee to be waived, they knew. And because there is no policy in place and there is no legal guideline that allows for these fees to be waived. So this was, in my view, the folks would authorize to, and the members of the staff would authorize these fees to be waived. They knew what they were doing was wrong. And I think the law and the communications I've had from the federal government back that up.
Okay. And I was going to ask you, if I'm wrong in understanding that Vince Donolfo, Judge Donolfo, his name could have been released, you could have released it.
Sure.
On the first day, because he's a notary public, right? So
sure.
This is someone who had a fee waived, and you could have said so at the opening news conference.
That's right.
And you told the public that you couldn't release the names. Why didn't you put Cheryl Donolfo's husband's name out there that day?
Well, because my concern is when I released this information last Monday is that his would have been the only name that could have been released because it was part of a different type of transaction that's not a sealed record. And what I didn't want to do was create a situation where it looked like there was politics at play and I was targeting a specific individual, because that's not the point of this. The point of this is that there was a systemic abuse to the system here, where there was a targeted group of individuals receiving something that was not available to other taxpayers, and I didn't want the focus just to be on that. So I didn't release that name. It was later foiled by a news outlet, at which point I have no choice but to do that because it's not a sealed record. But that's the reason why I didn't release that last Monday. But again, that came out the next day.
So you didn't want to politicize?
No, I didn't want politics to play any role in this. And the other reason, Evan, too, is as you saw from the few, especially Mr. Carroll and Mr. Shepard, who came forward, they didn't know they received any benefit. I take them at their word, and I don't really hold them accountable for having done anything wrong. So I also didn't want to too much unfairly malign the people, everybody who had received a fee waived, because in my view, they might not have known, A, that there was a fee that was waived for them, or B, that what they got they weren't entitled to based on their position or anything like that. And number three, whether they knew what they got was really that inappropriate.
Listeners, this is where I want to rely on you to gauge how you view the situation. You know, the critics have said this is overblown, it's political point scoring. Adam Bello is saying he specifically tried not to politicize this, but this is about protecting taxpayers and not allowing government favoritism of any kind. Do you care? Does it bother you? Is it an issue that should be raised? 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. You can find me on Twitter at Evan Dawson. You can email the program edawson@wxxi.org. The county clerk, Adam Bello, is here, and I would love to hear from you on this because I have been fascinated by the response that has been kind of all over the board on whether people think this is a major scandal or people think this is overblown. I know Adam Bello heard what Dave Andreatta wrote in the Democrat and Chronicle. Here's part of it. Here's what Dave wrote. Quote, make no mistake, Bellow's announcement was entirely political. He wants to keep his job, but that doesn't make his announcement less worthwhile. If what Bellow claims to have found is true, he'll have peeled back yet another layer of evidence that Monroe County government has operated for years like a corrupt clout machine built to enrich a relatively small circle of friends. End quote. What did you make of that, Adam?
Well, I'll say this about the politics, is that I understand the environment in which we're operating. I was appointed county clerk, as you know, back in the end of March. And even before I was sworn in, right after it was announced that I'd be appointed, we were immediately thrust into a political circus, if you will, before I even raised my hand and took the oath, because of the reaction from the other party to my nomination, which was, or to my appointment, which again set off a whole series of action of reactions relative to Comita and I-Square and other things. And so it immediately, there was this politically charged environment that really wasn't of my own doing. It was as a result of this appointment. And folks' determination to try to make me look bad, and so almost any announcement that I make, no matter what I do, is going to look like politics. I understand that, and because I'm making announcements in a politically charged environment. But on the other side of that, I have a responsibility to do. I'm a public official, and it's my job to run the clerk's office, and it's also my job to talk to taxpayers and talk to the media and let them know what's happening in the clerk's office. I mean, we've done a lot of things there that I've announced. We're on a new appointment system at the DMVs now. You can actually go online and make an appointment and show up and not have to wait at the DMVs. We formed the vacant abandoned property task force that we've talked about on your program. We've done a lot of things, but I understand the environment in which we're operating, but I can't stop acting as the county clerk, and I'm not going to stop trying to improve the office and do new things simply because there's an election coming up. Those two things have to be separate, and in my view, they're entirely separate from each other.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, Adam Bellow, my guest for the hour, I invited his opponent in this race, Cheryl Rossi, the Republican running for county clerk, to join us on the grounds that I think it would be interesting to find out what she thinks, if she agrees with Adam Bellow, that this is an important course to pursue on behalf of taxpayers, or if it's overreach or whatever she thinks. I haven't heard, Adam, by the way. Have you heard? I don't know what your opponent thinks. Do you want to speak for her?
Well, I never speak for other people. No,
do you know
I don't
what she
know.
Thinks?
No, I don't know what she thinks. I don't. And that also speaks to the politics, too. This has nothing to do with my opponent. This has nothing to do with my opponent.
No, I understand but, that. But I thought,
that.
To be fair, because we're close to an election, we're less than 6 weeks away, we invited her nonetheless, and they appreciated that invite, but she is not here, and I expect maybe we'll see Ms. Rossi before the election on a different day on this program. We did invite the county executive, Cheryl Donolfo, who was the clerk and running that office, and they declined the invitation to come on this program. I thought that'd be a great chance to kind of at least explore more of what happened and set the record straight, but they turned us down and said that they were referring to a statement, and we'll continue to refer to that. But let me go ahead and get back to your phone calls now. Jennifer in Pittsford is first up with Adam Bellow. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, I'm a big fan of the show, so thanks for taking my question.
Yeah, sure.
My question is, Mr. Bellow, if you are aware that employees that are still under your employment were inappropriately administering fees, have you taken any actions to discipline or remove those employees? And if not, why haven't you done that instead of going straight to, you know, sort of the top of the pyramid?
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, thank you. That's actually that's a great question that we didn't get to earlier. In my view, the individuals who are responsible for the waiving of the fees are the folks who directed it. And that's the administration that was there. The frontline clerk staff were really doing, through my interviews with them, were really doing essentially what they were told to do. And an environment had been created there over a number of years. The county executive had alluded to that. That this had crossed several administrations, they had created an environment where this was okay to do, and the staff was told it was okay to do, and in many cases were directed to do it. And so I don't hold them responsible. But what I have said was that if the individuals who had directed this, who I do hold responsible, were still employed by the clerk's office, they would no longer be employed by the clerk's office. This would not be something I would tolerate from any of the administrators in my department.
That answers your question, Jennifer.
Sure.
All right. Thanks very much, Jennifer. Let's then go to Sharon in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. I'm actually in Irondequoit. I applaud Adam Bello for what he's doing. There's children that are going without lunches or breakfast because the parents are too poverty-stricken. For people that are getting fees waived, it's just atrocious. And on another note, on a different topic, I'm very happy that the zombie houses are being addressed. So that's my comment. I don't really have a question.
Sharon, thanks very much for the phone call. I told Mr. Bello before the program began, who was a little bit incredulous that the public would want to talk for an hour on this, and he's going to be wrong because I see the phone ringing. If we've got time, we'll revisit zombies before we get to the end of the hour, because I know that was something that a lot of people, City News just had a, did you see the City News cover, by the way?
I have not seen
it. Oh, you've got to see the City News cover. But on Sharon's point there, I think Sharon makes it, a point that has not been made yet in this hour, which is this, Adam. I think it's we should maybe not just scoff at $25. I think for Vince D'Onofrio or Sean Carroll or Jim Shepard, $25 is not going to injure their ability to pay bills, et cetera. But there are people in our community really struggling who may eventually need to pay a fee. Do you feel legitimately this could hurt them? That kind of a fee.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what goes back to when you had initially said to me $35,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money. It does to some people. That's why I said, you know, to me actually $35,000 is a good amount of money. So I get that. And so everyone can take a different position on that. But to me, it's an issue of fairness. Okay, there were people who the fees were waived who could absolutely afford a $25 execution fee or a $20 local share, the notary public fee. And these are small fees, I get that. But to charge one group or class of people a fee and then not charge another group of people a fee is just fundamentally unfair, and it just has to stop.
Okay. Anita in Rochester, Jessica and Henrietta, I'm coming to you on the phones, but let me follow that question with this, because Adam said he's been advised don't characterize the names on the list anymore. Mm-hmm. And I understand why, because right now, legally, you can't release the names.
Right.
But you are at least indicating to us, mm-hmm. you know who the names are, and you're indicating that these are the types of people who would be connected or considered some kind of influence maker. I mean, I want to try to press you to tell us more without revealing names, and I know why you can't, but I think it's fair to at least ask you, are you saying that these are either connected people in some way, that you've said it's not random, right?
It's not random, and you are correct. I have been asked, though, by the federal government, the State Department, not to characterize it any more than the words that I've used to characterize it. But
they told me this hour, that's out the window, just for an hour.
Okay, yeah. And I know it's your job to do that. And that's also why I took a proactive approach and wrote to the State Department and asked them to waive that provision.
I know you want to release
the list. I really do. I really wish I could.
But when you say one class of people who can afford this fee versus people who don't get that benefit, yeah. you're implying it's friends, it's relatives, it's donors, it's one family. Was it reported one family had 15 people?
That's correct, yes.
One family. And you haven't said what family it is.
I have not said what family it is. One family had 15 fees waived. Now multiply that by $25. And, you know, you start to see real money start to accumulate for certain individuals in our community. But what I can tell you is that this was intentional, and it's also in the way that it played out. I can tell you it's intentional. What would happen is that these fees would be waived in several different circumstances in how this would happen. Fees would be there are plenty of cases that I've talked to the staff about, and I've reported to the federal government where what happens is somebody would call an administrator in the office and would say, I'm on my way to get a passport, and I'm going to this particular location to process the passport. And they would make that phone call so that it was known when they arrived that they would get their fee waived. And then the administrator would call the clerk who's processing passports at that location and say, when so-and-so arrives, make sure you don't charge them the county fee. That's how it would work. That's why I'm telling you this was an intentional setup.
Just a little side benefit, a wink, wink. Hey, we waived that fee for you, you know, yeah. for whatever reason. The people on that list, would you be surprised if any of the people who had the fees waived would be able to say, this would be hard for me to pay that fee?
I would be surprised, yes.
Okay. So it wasn't customer service based on people who are struggling. people who that fee could hurt.
No, and that, and but if it is, you know, if the county executive has examples, I'd like to see that. I my review of the list, and also by the folks who have come in to pay. That's the other thing we haven't really gotten into yet. But we've had about 50 people come into the office so far over the course of the last week, and said, like I said earlier, the various different reasons they would say, "Hey, I didn't know there was a fee that was waived for me, and I don't want to do anything inappropriate. Here's the money." We've had people who said, "I knew I got a fee waived, but didn't know I wasn't entitled to it." And so we've had various different reasons come through the door. But we had about 50 people come in already and voluntarily turn this fee back over to us.
All right, back to your phone calls, Jessica and Henrietta. Next, go ahead, Jessica.
Hi, thank you so much, and thank you, Adam, for doing this and taking our questions and everything. It's really helpful to all of us. My question is this: I feel like in the professional world, like if you find out that you have, you're owed money or someone didn't pay a full amount, like I feel like what usually happens is you just issue a bill to someone and you kind of just work it out with that person, like on a case by case basis. And so I'm just wondering, why that wasn't your course of action, why there was like a whole big media thing about it, because I mean, I know you're saying a lot of the people on that list are, probably influential or insiders or whatever, but there's probably people on the list that aren't. And so I'm wondering why risk potentially embarrassing those people, instead of just saying, hey, actually you owe us a little more money, here's a bill if you can get this taken care of as soon as possible. I feel like maybe that would have been better in some way.
So that's a good question. Thank you, Jessica. Go ahead, Adam.
Sure. Thank you, Jessica. It's a good question. I'll tell you why. Because in my view, it's a couple different reasons. One is these are tax dollars, and this isn't like a private business that has a billing dispute with a customer. What we have here is a government entity that works for taxpayers, and the taxpayers have the right to know when something happens that's inappropriate and actually costs taxpayers money. And in this case, that's what happened. And so in my view, the taxpayers had a right to know that this was happening. It was an intentional system that was set up to give benefits to a favored few people and at the expense of everybody else. And in my view, that's just not fair. And again, that's why I also went back to why I didn't release the one name last Monday either, because it's not really about the people who received the benefit, because you've already had two come forward to say they didn't know they had received it.
Well, it sort of is. It sort of is to at least contextualize why people got these benefits.
Well, that's exactly right. So it helps you describe why it was so wrong. When you see, if we're able to release that list, you'll be able to better conceptualize why this was so wrong.
And can I just be blunt? Yeah. Do you feel like if your name is on that list, you don't intend to embarrass them, but if they feel embarrassed, too bad, the public good is to actually see the list? Do you feel that way?
Well, that's the catch 22 and that's the problem with with government and public service is the problem is that these are all public records. In my view, these are public records, and the public has a right to know when tax dollars are at risk and when public officials are acting inappropriately on their behalf. I mean, these were administrators who were entrusted to run the county clerk's office, and in my view here, and what we've found and what we've talked to the federal government about is these were administrators who were acting inappropriately and in providing favors to a select group of people.
All right, Anita and Jason, after this very short break, we'll come to you. Plenty more phone calls to get to. I also, to be fair, I want to also play, courtesy of our friends at 13 Wham News, some of Cheryl Donolfo's comments about her husband getting a fee waived, which is public knowledge now. He's one of three people acknowledged publicly to have had a fee waived. And we'll continue with the county clerk, Adam Bello. We invited Cheryl Donolfo. She declined our invitation to join us on this program as we talk about this fee waiver issue. We invited Cheryl Rossi, who's running as a Republican in the clerk's race, to get her sense on if she views it the same way, and if she's elected, if she would continue down this path that Adam Bello has set. They have essentially declined our invitation for today, but we do hope to talk to her on this program before Election Day. More with the clerk next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the Next Connections, in our first hour, President Obama says if African-American voters do not go to the polls on Election Day, he'll take it as a personal offense to his legacy. His critics have said that's too overtly identity politics, but the president says this is an important election for the African-American vote. Then in our second hour, we're talking about the final proposal for Parcel 5 in Rochester. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We would have loved to have Cheryl Denolfo on this program today. They declined that invitation, and which is certainly their right, and she was kind enough to talk to 13 Wham News last week. And so we thank 13 Wham News for sharing some of the audio with us. Here's what Cheryl Denolfo had to say, some of her brief comments on her husband, Judge Denolfo, having a fee waived.
That waiver was permitted by law and actually was required by law in the undertaking of his duties.
Okay. Adam Bello, it's a very simple statement. Is she right?
No, she's not. And what we have here is that was my simple answer. What happened was last week, the county executive was referring to a memo that the county attorney wrote to the director of communications, not to the clerk's office, pointing to a section of law that pertains to filing fees. This is about who is required to pay when it comes to filing certain things with the clerk's office. The problem that we have with that is twofold. Number one was it's a memo that required that in their view said that the fee should have been waived that came years and years after the fact, after the fee had been waived. And the standard was not applied to anybody else. You should see the number of law clerks who have been in touch with my office who said, well, wait a minute. If that's true, why was I charged a fee to renew my notary public license? And in fact, a reading of the law that was forwarded to us by the county attorney would essentially waive the fee for a lot of people. By reading that, essentially anybody who works for the state government, the county government, anybody who has an official position where they would be in a position to notarize something would essentially have that fee waived. So this is just wrong. The controlling statute for notary public renewals, which is a commission that's conferred upon an individual. This is something that an individual would receive, is a different part of state law. It's executive law that really governs that. And so what they tried to do here, it looks to me, is instead of just acknowledging, yes, there was an issue here, we gave a fee waiver where we should not have done so. Instead, what happened was they released a part of law that had nothing to do with notary public fees and said, look over here, when in fact the law over here that governs notary public fees says absolutely a fee should have been charged.
Okay. Yeah. On Twitter, a question, have any of the 15 members of the unnamed family come in to pay their fee?
I don't know if I can actually get into that. The answer is no. No. But I shouldn't get into characterizing the list and who the list would be, but the answer to that would be no.
All right, so the answer to that one is no. Back to the phones we go. Anita in Rochester. Go ahead, Anita.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Adam. I just want to say thank you so much for doing what you are doing, because I just feel, and this is just my opinion, is that it seems like there's been a long history of corruption within, you know, the county clerk's office or the county executive, beginning with Maggie Brooks. But that, again, is just my opinion, and I'm hoping that you get elected this November. I know I'll be voting for you.
Well, Anita, thanks
thank
for the phone
you,
call.
Anita.
Go ahead,
and,
Adam.
And I'll just say that, when you go back to look at the backdrop of really what was going on while these fees were being waived and this was occurring, you know, these records that I have right now go back to 2008. Again, that's always why I say we have at least this many transactions or at least this amount of taxpayer funds, because our electronic records go back that far. But remember, this is when the Robitaille scandal was going on. The LDC investigation and trials were all happening. So there was a culture almost of this casual corruption, I would say, that had taken hold. And so that's really the environment in which all of this was taking place.
Adam, you just heard from someone who says they're hoping you get elected and they're thrilled to see the work you're doing. The flip side of that are people like Matt on Twitter who writes the following. He says, Evan, I'm no defender of Denolfo, but this was certainly a political stunt by Bello by virtue of him not calling Denolfo first. Also, having a press conference about fee waivers, knowing that he can't release names, is political. And Bello lost a supporter in me with this stunt. What do you say to Matt?
Well, Matt, I'm going to have to just respectfully disagree. The problem that we have is the public has the right to know what happened, but according to the federal government, they don't have the right to know who it happened with and who was the beneficiary. And so as a public official, you're put in a weird position where I do believe the public has the right to know when there's malfeasance taking place in the government, because it's your government. At the end of the day, we work for taxpayers, and taxpayers have the right to know what is going on and that something wrong had occurred. So, you know, I would love nothing more than to release the list of names, but we're going to have to wait and see what that determination will be from the federal government.
Jason in Rochester, next up with County Clerk Adam Bella. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, thank you. Anita stole my thunder a little bit, but, you know, what did Gomer Pyle say? Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, Republican administrations or, you know, were doing things that involved patronage, going back to Maggie Brooks and probably beyond that, back to Jack Doyle. That's not shocking at all to me. But the positive thing that is that Mr. Bello is looking into this. He came across something that seems unethical, and he's looking into it. Two main things I would say is that, first of all, the amount, whether it's $35,000, you know, $5 million, or $100, you know, this idea that ethics isn't important, that this could be trivial because it's not a lot of money, is painful to me that we might overlook it. And the word political, I almost think maybe we could just, you know, kick it out of the American lexicon, because this is political, that's political. The issue is it factual? Is he correct? Is there something unethical going on? Are the taxpayers, perhaps, you know, their money isn't being taken care of as it should? Lord knows we pay enough taxes in this area. So I just really, I don't want to say hate, I really am disturbed by the, oh, this is just political, or it's only this much money. You know, there's still right and wrong, and it's wrong if that's what was going on. And I had the opportunity once some time ago to have a cup of coffee with Mr. Bello to discuss the zombie property thing, which I was very involved in my neighborhood, and it was very enlightening and helpful. And I just want to say, you know, doing the right thing is still okay. So keep going, buddy.
Thank
you. Great.
All right, Jason, thanks for the phone call. So he's making the point of $5 million down to $100, the ultimate dollar figure, in this case around $35,000, maybe more, right, is sort of immaterial. Do you agree?
Well, like I said before, some people are going to agree to disagree on whether or not the number is a significant number. I think both are problematic. But I think that the extent to which the fees were waived in an intentional basis, like here for one group of people but not another group of people, that's really the point of this. The real point of this is that there was a certain group of people who were treated differently than others were treated. And you know, I'll give you another example to the extent of this, and this is why the notary public waiver was such an issue, is that, and again, speaks to why this really isn't allowed. There was the way the system is set up to provide to waive fees for certain things is that there would have to be authorization entered in. To override a passport execution fee, there'd have to be some sort of authorization. The ability to authorize a fee waiver for a notary public renewal is not in our system. They actually had to go back into the back end of the system, change it to allow for the overriding of that fee. So the system didn't even allow for this. That's why I think this issue is just so important, because it was the casualness by which they were offering favors for certain individuals that was just wrong. As Jason said, it's just wrong.
All right, we've got a few minutes left for that in Bello, and I will just say, Jason, on the tail end, you mentioned zombie properties. Maybe this will make the county clerk happy, because he's made that a big issue, and we've talked about it here. I mentioned City News, and I'm a big fan of print journalism. You're going to keep hearing that from me. Check out their cover now on zombie properties and Jeremy Mull's story. And maybe we'll have Jeremy on the program next week, and we'll kind of update where things stand there and dig into some of his reporting. But really good work. And so kudos to our friends from City on that. And I know that's the first thing Adam Bello's doing when he leaves this. He's going to go check out the
cover. I'm going to go check out that cover. Jeremy's done some good work on this topic. He's done some great reporting.
Sherry in Fairport next up. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi. My question was that, you know, I read on 13 WAM that there are other places that have waived fees. So my question is, you know, why is it such a big deal if other places have also done this?
Sherry, thank you. Fair question. Adam Bello?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sherry. And I took a look at what they had sent to the State Department. And what the county attorney, again, had written to the State Department is that they had found, it looks like, three other instances out of 7,300 facilities that also granted certain fee waivers.
Do that again. How many out of how many?
It looks like three out of about 7,300 across the country. And so I went and looked at those instances as well, because the federal government had said to me, we're not allowed to do this. And what we have found were stated policies that they were pointing to on these websites, one where it was an employee benefit, another, I know a charity was the recipient of the fee. Of the fee waiver. Actually, the fee, I think, was paid to the organization, then donated to a charity.
Got it.
So instead of the processing agency collecting the fee, instead they directed the fee to go to a charity. That is absolutely not what happened here. There's really no correlation between these three other locations did and what happened in Monroe County. One of them actually has they had provided town board resolutions indicating what the policy would be to waive that fee as an employee benefit. There is no Monroe County resolution or referral that does that here. So they're two completely different things.
Okay, some more listener comments that have come in. John writes to the program and says, waiving fees in this way is just unfair, and this situation feeds into the charge of this election cycle that the system is rigged. I personally am angry that anyone is given a waiver for a pistol permit. The suggestion that Adam should have first disciplined the clerks that granted the fees is wrong and equates to the firing of all the lower-level employees at the big banks where higher-ups instituted the system that helped create the problem. That's from John. On Twitter, Caleb has an honest question for the clerk. He says, random but honest question. Is the county executive Adam's boss, and does that make things awkward in the office now? Does this affect the relationship?
No, I'm a separate constitutional officer that runs my own department. So it just sort of is what it is in terms of what happened here and what our relationship would be because of that. And like I said, that this goes back. I understand that the environment that we operate in, the politically charged environment, because of what happened with Comita and I Square, and I fear that's also what's happening here a little bit. Instead of an acknowledgement that something was wrong, we're now seeing statements and things like that coming out trying to justify actions that were clearly inappropriate. But what I would also say is that in terms of the staff and who's responsible, we have almost 100 people who work for the county clerk's office in Monroe County who are some of the hardest working men and women that I've ever known. And these folks are ethical, they're honest, and I really don't hold them responsible. I've interviewed those who were involved. I understand what happened here. And I don't hold them responsible for this. They were doing what they were told. And so the folks that I hold responsible are the people who told them what to do.
Do you have any relationship with Cheryl Donelfo?
Sure. We speak at public events with each other and things like that.
That's not a relationship.
In our staffs, we get along. We do what we need to do because at the end of the day, there's a government to run. There absolutely is. And we can't let any politics or anything like that get in the way of running government. We saw that again. You go back to I Square and Comita. We saw that what happens when politics influences the operation of government. And so we have to prevent that. So, I've met with the county attorney last week. We spoke again yesterday. We work with the budget office and our analysts every day. Our staffs have to work together to make sure that the government's functioning and that we're doing the right thing on behalf of taxpayers.
We invited her today. She declined. And you've had a few disagreements in your 6 months in the office there. If she's willing to come on this program with you in the future, will you come on with her in the future?
Of course. Yeah, I'm happy to. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
A few more questions before we lose the hour on the timeline now. So let's talk about what happens next year and update people on where things stand. When do you expect to get an answer on whether you'll ever be allowed to release the list, for example?
Right. So when we had written the letter last week, they had indicated, actually it was the week before last week, I think is when we actually sent it to them. They indicated it could take up to 2 weeks to respond. So I'm hoping any day now we would have some further clarification on whether or not we can release the list of names. I've also have communications from them that I'm happy to share as soon as they release them that really points out from their legal counsel where in federal law their interpretation of federal law that shows that these fees should not and cannot have been waived. So we're looking in a couple of days, but also just to update the public on what's been happening is that we've had, like I said, about 50 people come in and pay the fee. So we're starting to collect taxpayer dollars again. We've had a lot of folks call the office, which is entirely appropriate and okay. If you have a question about whether or not you're on the list, we can't do a lot over the phone because we need to verify who you are because this is sealed information. But if you come in our office, if you're concerned, bring ID with you and we'll absolutely let you know if you're on the list and we can be discreet about that. And then what we're looking to do, the next stage would be to send a letter to individuals to let them know that a fee was waived and that they could remit payment to the county.
And when it comes to what could happen with the allegation on breaking the law, I mean, the allegation is that state and federal law was violated by the clerk's office, right?
Yes.
What's the penalty for that?
Well, that's really up to law enforcement what they want to do, if anything, with this. I've turned it over to law enforcement just to allow for a review of that because when we look through this it's clearly stated out in New York State law and penal code. Like I said, you can look it up yourself under New York State Penal Code. It says that these fees should be collected. And talks about what the penalty would be if there's a violation of the law. And in the federal law, there is, again, it's in the law that this has to be collected. And one of the conversations I've had with the State Department about this and why it is taking some time as well is because they've never seen anything like this before. I said to them, well, why isn't it, what would be the penalty for this? Because I'm also concerned about our ability, continuing to process passports and should they want to come in and audit, I want to make sure that that's available to them. And they said part of the problem here is that and why they just don't have a policy even on releasing these names is this has never happened before. And they can't because they don't understand why a collection facility wouldn't collect the fee that they're entitled to. It would pay their costs to process the passports. And so to them, it was just almost an absurd question when I called and said, under what circumstance would all these fees be waived? To them, they said, well, why would there be a fee waiver in the first place?
All right. 10 seconds then. Do you think someone could or should go to jail for this?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I turned it over to law enforcement. They may or may not take action on that, but that's out of my hands, and that's not a decision that's up to me.
Well, the bottom line is we'll see what happens going forward here. And Adam said it could be any day. They'll at least get some clarity on whether they can release the list. Could be before the end of this week. That's possible, right?
That's my hope and expectation.
You saw the interest. A lot of community feedback from this. So if you called, sent emails, tweets, etc. for County Clerk Adam Bello, thank you. And hope we got to as many of those as we could. And we also will continue to extend the invitation to County Executive Cheryl Donolfo and Cheryl Rossi, who's challenging Adam Bello for the clerk seat in November. Thank you, Adam. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Evan, for the opportunity.
Rob Braden, Megan Mack, outstanding job as always. I'm Evan Dawson. We'll talk with you Friday.